Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Well, it's lovely to see the sunshine out there today. I do believe that motorcycle season will actually get here, although, it's been a test waiting and a test of my patience again, so hey. Well, today is the last Sunday of Lent, and throughout Lent, we have been journeying with Jesus to the cross. Last week, we looked at the time between when Jesus was sentenced to death and when he was crucified. Today, we're going to take a one-week step back in time and in our story, and we're going to go and journey with Jesus to the as he enters Jerusalem. Today, I want to take you into the story. Now, if you are a person who likes to go to concerts in stadiums, then you will know that, well, where you sit matters. Your experience of the concert is different if you are sitting on the front row or dancing in front of the stage, or if you are in the nosebleed section. Your experience of the concert will be different if you're sitting in a section where people are really into the music, or if people really are not into the music. If you're sitting in a section where people are just singing along with at the top of their voice, and you want to listen to the person on the platform, well, your experience will be one thing. If nobody's singing and you want to sing along, it'll be another thing. Where you sit matters. Today, I'm not taking you to a concert, but rather into the story of Palm Sunday. And I hope that you will see yourself in the story. And I want you to find your place in the story, where you would like to sit in the story. If you find you're not sitting in the place you want to be, then this isn't a concert with assigned seats. You can get up and move around to the place you want to be in the story. You've heard the story read and portrayed by video. Now I want to dive into your imagination. If you had been there that first Palm Sunday, you couldn't fail to understand the symbolism of what Jesus was doing as he rode into Jerusalem. Jesus had been teaching and preaching and healing and doing miracles all over Israel for the last 3 years, and he had a following. In fact, when he fed the 5,000 people, the people tried to make him king at that time. After all, who wouldn't want a king who could feed you for free? But Jesus wouldn't let them make him king then. But now, things have changed. In those times, first century, if a Roman emperor or a general had won a spectacular battle, then he would proceed into the city riding on a gallant stallion, and he would be at the head of the processional, and the crowds around him would be going wild and cheering about his great victory. Well, he would make a triumphal entry. But now Jesus is making this same kind of triumphal entry. He came not on a prize stallion, but on the colt of a donkey, because he was a humble king. People knew it. But the people understood he was coming into Jerusalem like a king. That is why people were yelling in Luke chapter 19, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," because he was the king. Well, the processional started off in Bethany. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. See, wasn't that long ago since Lazarus had been raised from the dead in Bethany? The people of this town knew Jesus had power. A man they knew was dead, had been in the grave for 4 days, had come back to life. They knew Jesus had power. who wouldn't want a man like that to be king? They had heard him speak about the kingdom of God, but they thought it was some sort of metaphor for Israel. The crowd was primed for a king, and they saw Jesus as their king. Jesus is a king, but just not as they had imagined. You maybe remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about Jesus standing before Pilate, that Jesus told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." But Jesus is a king. The people in the story have a different relationship to and different perspectives on this king. I'm going to look at those different groups of people, and you need to decide where you want to sit in the story. The first people I want you to consider is the owners of the colt. Verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you'll find this colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'Well, the Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he told them. And as they were untying the coats, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying this coat?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." Scholars are divided as to whether Jesus had arranged this transaction beforehand or whether this was a gift of knowledge being displayed. Either way, the owners were being asked to give their colt to Jesus. Here's what you need to know. A colt would represent a significant amount of wealth in a house in Bethany. Luke records that this colt had never been ridden. And if you know anything about colts, you will know that one that has never been ridden and is going to take a rider, surrounded by a crowd that's yelling and screaming, may not be the best way to protect your investment, right? But when the owners heard the Lord needs it, they handed the colt over. That takes a lot of faith and generosity. But if these people don't give the colt over to the disciples, the ministry of Jesus is impeded. Imagine Palm Sunday without the donkey. You know, it would just be Jesus taking a stroll into the city. There might have been cheering crowds and the whole image, but the whole image of Jesus as king is lost. Jesus was able to demonstrate who he was because of the faith and generosity of the donkey owners. There are a number of you in this room who could quite comfortably sit beside the donkey owners. You support the work of Jesus through faith, through generosity of your time and talent and treasure. You exercise faith when Jesus says he needs something, you give of what you have. It's people like you who make the gospel go to the ends of the earth. Maybe you'd like to sit beside the colt owners. Well, let me take you to another seat. The two disciples, verse 30. They were told to go retrieve the colt. Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. I wonder, doesn't really like to overstep my bounds. So if I was one of these two disciples, my initial reaction would be, well, it would not be to walk up to someone else's colt and untie it and then walk away with it, right? I'd be more likely to go up, knock on the door. Then I'd say, "Hey, I see you have a colt. Seems like it's never been ridden. Could you by chance let Jesus use it? I'm sure nothing could go wrong with a colt that has never been ridden in the middle of a crowd of people." What's that? Oh, yeah, Jesus is going to ride it. But that's not what Jesus told the disciples to do. He said, go up and tie it. Go up and look like you are horse thieves. It's essentially what he said, right? And if anyone stops you, says the Lord needs it, I'd be saying to myself, but I don't want to look like a horse thief. And if someone stops it, are they going to believe what I say? When I say the Lord needs it? What if they don't even know who the Lord is? But the disciples, two disciples, demonstrated obedience and exercised faith, and they displayed courage. They put their reputation on the line to be obedient to the commands of Jesus. So when Jesus said, go and do this, they did exactly what he told them to do. There are some of you who can quite comfortably sit with the two disciples in the story. When you hear the command of Jesus, you go and do what he tells you to do, out of faith, out of obedience, and sometimes you use courage. Verse 36, the two disciples brought this colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it. Go back one slide, please. They brought their cloaks to Jesus and threw their coats on it and put Jesus on the colt. Two disciples honored Jesus. They used their own coats as horse blankets so Jesus could sit on the colt. I don't know who the two disciples were, but I want to be able to sit with them. Obedience, faith, courage, and now honor. I'd like to be with like them. Maybe you and I can move our seats there. Let's take a look at the crowd. Luke 19:36. And as he went along, the people spread their cloaks in the road. And when he came near the place where, on the road where it goes down to the Olives, the crowd of disciples began to joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Other gospels tell us that people were waving palm branches. The crowd was filled with people who admired Jesus. It was filled with people who were friends of Jesus. The crowd was on Jesus' side. They were joyfully praising God. And this was real worship. Now, if this had been a concert, these are the people who would have been rocking out, right? They're screaming, they're yelling, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But even though they love Jesus and they're on Jesus' side, even though they're worshiping, they got it wrong. The worshipers had it wrong. The people who were worshiping didn't really know what was going on. They were people worshiping with an agenda. The people had an agenda to see Jesus become an earthly king, to set up his throne room in Jerusalem. They wanted to set up a palace in Jerusalem. They had their own agenda, and their own agenda was different than God's agendas. God's agenda was far grander than setting Jesus up in a palace in Jerusalem. His agenda was to conquer sin and death and evil. God's agenda was that Jesus would become King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where someday every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What I find interesting is that although they were worshiping with their own agenda, and they didn't get it right, Jesus doesn't try to shut them down. Although their worship was flawed, Jesus doesn't even correct them. In fact, he receives the worship and continues and confirms those who are worshiping. Verse 39. So some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Jesus is saying, if they don't worship, the stones will have to. I've been known to stand in the crowd. I know that Jesus deserves to be worshipped, but sometimes I worship with my own agenda. There have been times where I've worshipped because, well, I like the way worship makes me feel. There's times when I've worshipped as, you know, well, maybe if God sees me worship, he'll come close and I'll get what I need. Have my own agenda. Sometimes I've worshipped and I've made worship about me. Sometimes my worship has been inherently flawed. Some of the things I used to say in worship, I've come to see that, no, that's not quite right. But here's the thing about our wonderful God. He receives our worship, even though it's flawed. He receives our worship even when we want our own agenda rather than his. And sometimes the very best that you can do is bring your flawed worship to Jesus, knowing that he knows all, and he looks at our hearts, and even when we're missing the mark, God honors our intention. When you come to worship, you may have had a bad week. You're here, and you're mouthing the words, and you're trying to stay focused, but you know you're not all here. Jesus receives that kind of worship. Maybe you've been part of the crowd too. Some of you are saying, oh, I don't know if I'm in a place to go to church this week. Yeah, I've had a rough week. I've wandered away from God this week. Here's what I would say. Worship God with what you have, because God receives even flawed worship. Let's take a look at the Pharisees. Same verses. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." The Pharisees were angry. See, this isn't how worship is supposed to go. And Jesus, do you know the political ramifications of what you're saying? And do you know what the people are doing? And that's heresy. And they are getting worship all wrong. Worship isn't supposed to look like this. Have you ever judged other people's worship? I'm old enough to remember the worship wars between hymns and choruses. Some of you are too. And depending on what side you were on, the one side was spiritual and the other side wasn't. There was a lot of judging going on about people's worship. And it still happens. I've gone to churches where the music is so loud in church that you can't hear anybody around you singing. Except for the people who are on the platform. That's what you hear. And it's easy to judge. I've been to churches where, well, they sing the same chorus over and over and over and over again. And it's easy to judge. The trend in some churches right now is to use smoke machines. You mentioned smoke machines pouring off the platform out at the congregation. Yeah. It's easy to judge. But instead, I've learned to say, that's just not my cup of tea, but honor God the way that seems right to you, the way that seems best to your community. I don't like how close I've come to standing with the Pharisees. That is a place in the story where I just do not want to find myself sitting. If you find yourself there, maybe it's time to change seats. Last group is the people in the city of Jerusalem. Verse 41 says this. And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build up an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within the walls. They will not leave one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. Well, Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. Much of the rest of the world was going about business as usual. People in Jerusalem, yeah, they heard a rumor that there was something happening on the Mount of Olives, and there's a processional coming in. But they still minded their shops, and there was buying, and there was selling. Life went on. They were working. They were resting. And Jesus was close by. And they missed him. The prophecy that Jesus makes in this passage was fulfilled 30 years later, 70 AD. Romans came and decimated the city of Jerusalem. But there are so many people who are like that city. Jesus comes near, and they miss him. Jesus is close by, but they don't recognize him. If you're here today and you're like part of the city, I want you to know that Jesus is close by. Will you reach out to him and invite him into your life? Would you move your chair to another place? We're all sitting in relationship to the King of Kings. Where are you sitting? The colt owners were full of faith and generosity. The two disciples, well, they were full of obedience and faith and courage, and they honored Jesus. The crowd was worshiping with their own agenda, but they were worshiping. Pharisees were judging other people's worship. The city was missing Jesus even when he came here. It's Palm Sunday. Crowds are cheering. Make sure you're in the right place. Get yourself a good seat. This isn't a concert. There are no assigned seats. If you have seen where you are in the story and you don't like it, maybe it's time to move. I found that where I sit in a concert has changed with age and experience. Maybe you're here and God's calling you into this new season of life and he wants you to take a different chair. Maybe he's calling you to be full of faith and generosity or obedience and courage. Maybe he's calling you just to worship and learn what real worship is. If you hear God's call, pick up your chair and move it and sit with the place where God's calling you to. Let's pray. So Lord, on this Palm Sunday, we are thankful for your word. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we're all sitting in relationship to you somewhere. Some of us are trying to get close to you. Other of us are judging and pulling away from you. Others are disregarding you. Others are trying to be obedient to you. So Lord, we invite you. We invite you to come and get us to the place you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.